Prayer is certainly one of the most important aspects of our Christian life. It is communicating with the Creator, our Heavenly Father. And we certainly are admonished to pray daily. Now, there's many factors involved in having effective prayer, but I'd like to discuss just one of the very most important factors, and that is persistent prayer, or fervent prayer. Persistent prayer. Let's open up to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. And starting in verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that is Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." It's interesting, you know, prayer is not necessarily natural or just born with it. There's a process and, you know, things to think about and develop. Verse 2, he said to them, "Well, when you pray," not if you pray, but when you pray, "say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil." And certainly, Matthew adds, before it goes through the outline for prayer, is that after this manner, this is not a prayer to be memorized and that's your prayer for the day. It's an outline for prayer. It gives you the overview of categories that we can talk about and expand upon. But let's keep reading. Let's keep reading here. Verse 5, he said to them, "Well, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Hey, friend, lend me three loaves, right? Wake up. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Well, don't trouble me. The door is shut. My children are in bed, they're sleeping. I'm not going to get up and give it to you and start, you know, causing a ruckus.' Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet, because of his," in the King James, "importunity," or the persistence, "he will arise and give him as many as he needs." That importuning, that persistence, that really not giving in and keep going at it. The word itself implies boldness, being unrestrained. In the Jerusalem Bible, let me just read this, quoting from the Jerusalem Bible. It says, "I tell you, if the man does not get up and give it him for friendship's sake, persistence will make it enough to make him get up and give his friend all he wants," unquote. The point is, keep going at it. Keep going at it. Verse 9, "I say to you," as Jesus continues here, "ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." And these are all, you know, real important action words. It's really putting really heartfelt emotion into our prayers. It's putting intensity into our prayers, certainly with requests to Him. We should really give it our all and be persistent. Verse 10, "For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open." The point is to give it your all, to give it your all. Well, does that make a difference? Does it really make a difference how you pray, whether you pray normal and calmly and, you know, just matter-of-factly? Well, we just have a scripture in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, just one verse. This is coming right after sickness. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Then notice the summary here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's not saying, you know, you just pray again calmly and, you know, that's it. You know, I prayed once about it. I'm going to go on my way. It really should be very active. You should be energized. You should stir up God's Spirit within you. And certainly it's not wrong to pray more than once about something, certainly something significant, maybe an ongoing problem in a vital area. And God wants to hear it. Now, we can think that God knows what's going on, and he does, right? He knows exactly what's going on, what your issues are in life. But he wants you to express it. He wants you to talk it out. And you're building a bond and a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And don't be afraid to go back and pray more than once. You know, if you had a really, really important thing in your life, and would you just tell your spouse one time, yeah, we got this crisis, and I'll just tell you once, and, you know, don't worry about it. No, we would talk it out. We would express it differently. We would go back and just expand upon it. Again, all of this is building a good bond and relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's see a great example of persistent prayer in Psalm chapter 6. We can go to a lot of Psalms of David, but let's just go to Psalm 6, just one example here of how he communicated with God. In Psalm 6 and verse 1, it says, O Lord God, rebuke me not in your anger, neither chasten me with hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed. But you, O Lord, how long? How long do I have to have this condition? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for your mercy's sake. And you can just imagine the emotion is in here. It's not done in a monotone voice or anything like that. This was actually a musical composition here. And I'm sure if David sang it, he would really come out and really go for it. For in death, it says, okay, we'll just stop there. Verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul, save me for your mercy's sake. You know, that's the matter. It's putting everything into your prayer. Certainly, especially when times are difficult, important things. Yeah, it might not be every time you pray. You know, there's days that are kind of, you know, neutral and, you know, nothing significant's going on. But the times that are tough, spend time really putting all you've got into it. And we can certainly even read the Psalms. We can read the Psalms and get great material for our prayer life. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that. You'll find Psalms with your problem, at least in principle. And you can just read that prayer before God and put your own thoughts into it. That's what the Psalms are there. Many of the Psalms are there to help us out. Let's just go to one more Psalm now, 142. Psalm 142, verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord, did I make my supplication. I cried. There was a lot put into this. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. He talked it out. He didn't just keep it suppressed. He talked it out in prayer. Verse 5, I cry to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, because they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall compass me about, for you shall deal bountifully with me. He's crying out. He's expressing his problems. He's also expressing faith that God will help him with his issue. So we're just seeing a very, very small sample here in the Psalms and the words of Christ to realize how God wants us to communicate with him. It should never be uninvolved or passionless or just praying one time and forgetting about it. God wants us to put every ounce of our being into our prayer life. Let's use the vital key of persistent prayer.